Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee, and happy Friday to you. A beautiful day here in the heart of the state in downtown Milwaukee. Do you have 60 minutes on your regular watch list? It's the one show in the Sherman household, at least in my viewing purvey, that I never miss. I don't always watch it live, but it's on the DVR or I watch it on demand. So they did a feature last week on CHI Overhead Doors in Illinois. They manufacture garage doors founded by an Amish carpenter in the early 1980s. But then in 2015, one of the biggest private equity firms in the country purchased CHI for $700 million. And they had a great interview. I'm going to read it like straight from the script from Brad Edwards, who is a 19-year veteran of the factory floor there. Brad said, "To me, it seemed like they own half the world, right?" And he laughed and he said, "Wow, well, the rumors are totally starting to go around. Like, oh my gosh, this big New York private equity firm, they're going to come in, they're going to skin us down to the bare bones until they can squeeze off a few bucks from us. Whatever they leave, there's going to be nothing left." But the whole segment went on to show that, you know, the private equity world and the perception of it all for workers and frankly for many people, it's not often what we think it is, right? Often private equity enables entrepreneurs and founders to achieve their dreams by offering succession plans to an organization while keeping the mission of the founders alive. But still, you know, private equity kind of comes with a negative context sometimes. But this is The Upswing. We're all about moving Milwaukee and Wisconsin forward. So I wanted to take this show to help dispel some myths around private equity. And to do so, we have a local private equity leader to talk to us about quality private equity deals, discuss his career path, showcase some of his firm's companies in his portfolio. And as we always do on The Upswing, we're going to talk about success. We're going to talk about failure. We're going to talk about leadership in Greater Milwaukee. I'm excited today to have Sequoia Borgman, founder and CEO of Borgman Capital, join us. He'll offer the real story, the local story, and insights into a world, as I said, that's often maybe a bit foreign to some. Borgman Capital works with Midwestern companies across all sectors to purchase and grow businesses so founders can transition to the next phases of their lives. Today, doing research for the show, there are roughly 12 million Americans that are employed by companies owned by private equity. So after the break, we're going to talk about strategies for how businesses can create the most value in their company, why investing in your people is so critical for business owners, and what industry segments are ripe for private equity, not only in Wisconsin, but across the Midwest. And don't worry, if you're a business owner or a founder or your uncle owns a manufacturing company that's doing really well, I'm going to ask our guest what questions you should ask before you consider selling your business or exploring private equity. Private equity today on The Upswing. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Upswing, honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe. WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open right now through today. Finalists will be recognized during Hero Week that runs May 20th through the 24th. Help us tell your stories. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. We are demystifying private equity today on The Upswing with Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital. Sequoia, thanks for taking time out of your morning and joining us today. Truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I'm excited. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. So give us the minute and a half Sequoia Borgman story. It sounds cliche to say, but you're pretty self-made, and I always am inspired by talking to self-made people.
Yeah, well, usually people ask me about the name first.
Okay,
so,
right.
Sequoia being a little different. So the short story: I was born Northern California, mid '70s, hippie parents. They liked the name,
and
I was born up by the redwoods, but I was actually Sequoia. The spelling is named is a Cherokee Indian name, so that's where it came from.
All right,
but that was my background. Born. Like I said, in the mid-70s to a single mother, and we moved all around the country. So I lived in a bunch of states, ended up in North Carolina, and went to high school, college in North Carolina. But by the time I'd gone there, I'd gone to about 9 different schools. Hmm. And really, that's what gave me kind of my ability to do what I do.
Yeah.
And perseverance and everything. But I went to school for accounting, graduated early with a master's and started out at big public accounting firms, did that for about 20 years before launching the firm.
And you lived all over California, Hawaii, Iowa, North Carolina, Florida, and then eventually made your way to Wisconsin,
lovely Wisconsin, of course.
All right. I always like hearing the path stories to Wisconsin. So you worked full time in high school, I heard, too.
Yeah, I did. When you're raised by a single mother, you've got to make ends meet. And I worked second shift in a factory in high school. Actually, it was a A.O. Smith plant, and I worked the 3 o'clock to 11 shift with adults, and then I went home and got a little bit of sleep and went to high school during the day.
Okay, all right. If my 16-year-old and 12-year-old are listening, take note, because we're putting you to work. We're not working you hard enough.
Yeah. Well, I always say, no matter how hard or what challenges we're facing in my current career, it's nothing compared to people that are going through that and getting out there and putting in the hours and working second shift.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm going to have you just, at its core, define private equity for us. And then, is it different in the Midwest from your firm's perspective?
Well, there's certainly the Midwest nice perspective compared to New York or the coast. But private equity, I mean, when people think about private equity, a lot of people think about what went on in the late 70s and 80s with Barbarians at the Gate and Wall Street and these big firms coming in and tearing up really nice companies. And that's what people think private equity is. But private equity, I mean, in at least the space that we work in, it's really just leveraged buyouts of really nice, successful, established businesses that have been around, in some cases, 2, 3, 4 generations. We've bought companies that are over 100 years old, and we want nothing more than that company to continue to be successful or even be more successful. I mean, we don't no private equity firm or individual that I know wants the company to not be successful.
Yeah. I mean, that old school assumption that private equity is like storming the gates in a hostile takeover and stealing the business, raiding the pension funds and selling off all the assets and ruining the customers. That's stuff that movies are made of.
Right. Exactly. It makes for a good story. And it did happen in the 80s. There was a lot of those junk bond type deals, but that's not the industry now. The industry is really just a private way for a company to go through a succession plan for the owners to sell out or for the management teams to buy the businesses.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, I want to ask you, what types of businesses are really good candidates for private equity? I have a good example around car washes. I think a lot of people think, whoa, the car wash business, a lot of local owners. The reality is that business, like a lot of other businesses, has shifted a lot. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We are talking with Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital. Sequoia, what's the size of your firm in terms of kind of total employees, and what's the rundown of the organization?
Sure. We've got 12 people on the team right now.
Okay.
Between our Milwaukee and Minneapolis office. And it's divided. We've got a small real estate investment group, and then the primarily individuals are focused on buying kind of nice established businesses.
Okay. All right. You don't have any car washes in your portfolio, do you?
No. Not yet. We've looked at a couple in that space, but we haven't bought anything.
Okay. That business has always interested me, not only because I'm kind of, I don't know, I like to have a clean car. So I like to find really good places that do a wonderful job. But like a lot of businesses, it's changed so much. Obviously, a lot of the places are totally automated now, and that's a subscription model. It's pretty nice. Like, you're like, all right, I'm going to pay $13.99 to get unlimited car washes. You never use it, but I'm kind of, it's a genius model. But if you look at car washes in 2016, the top 10 car wash chains in terms of numbers around the country were, only two of them were owned by private equity. And today, all 10 are. So they're growing enormously. And actually, I just saw a story on Bloomberg yesterday that because car wash business is growing so much that some communities are pushing back a little bit, like, whoa, we don't want another automated car wash in our community because there's just too many of them. So it's interesting to see, you know, sometimes there's the good, sometimes there's the bad. What are some of the businesses that you're looking at that can be really good candidates for private equity?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned car wash. What's really driving that is leverage. I mean, a lot of the returns in private equity are from the leverage, and car washes, you can put a lot less equity in the deals because of the real estate, and you can finance them over a much longer period at better rates because it really, it's a real estate transaction.
Okay.
And that's why private equity has gone into that space so aggressively. And in fact, there's a local firm here that did really, really well in the car wash space.
So the big value in those deals is the real estate and the land.
Well, at the end of the day, we're investors. We're trying to get the highest return on our money possible. And if you can finance something where the bank's giving you less expensive money than equity, that really boosts our returns.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what scenarios are you seeing now that make really good business options for owners? What are the kind of the four or five main things that owners are saying, all right, we need to go the private equity route?
Usually it's an owner that doesn't have a next generation in the family that wants to take over. Maybe that they are professionals, or they just don't have what it takes to run the company, or really just don't have an interest. They've seen how hard their parents worked, and they don't have an interest in doing that. That's the most likely scenario. And then sometimes there's management teams that they'd love to sell the business to the management team, but the management team just doesn't have the network to do it. So private equity will back the management team.
And are often the founder and owner, their wishes are to stay involved, kind of achieve their financial wishes and move on? Or are you seeing in the companies you're working with, the founders want to stay involved from the get-go and be involved for the next phase? Or does it vary?
And it really varies. It varies really on the age of the owner and the founder. If it's somebody that wants some help and wants some additional capital to continue to grow the business, and they're still young and energized, that's somebody that will roll over a lot of equity, stay involved in the business, and continue to run the business. If it's somebody that's kind of retirement age, wants to move to Florida or Arizona and take some chips off the table, they're less likely to stay involved with the business longer than a short transition period.
Okay. Well, it's been a pretty busy year at Borgman Capital so far. Why don't you tell us about two of your new platform investments? One is in the chemical distribution space, and then the other in the pet treat category.
Yeah, it has been a busy year. Last year was definitely slow from a deal flow standpoint, but this year's picked up. We closed on a chemical distributor in Cleveland earlier this year, really nice business. Business had been around almost 100 years. Current owner had run it for about 35 years and was looking for his exit strategy. And we're really excited about that business. And then, within the last 3 weeks, we bought a a pet treat company out in Montana. Great, great place to visit, and looking forward to spending more time out in Bozeman with that company.
Okay, and that's Buckbone Organics.
Buckbone Organics. Okay. Yeah, their primary product is an all organic natural shed dog chew. But they've also got a bunch of ancillary products, pet treats, and other products as well.
Okay. Yeah, obviously a huge growing business, the pet space. Everyone's looking for ways to have organic, natural ingredients for their pets to keep them healthy for the long term. Because, you know, the healthcare costs, not only for us as humans, but for dogs and cats and pets, are not getting any cheaper.
Yeah, no, it's a great space. People spend more money on their pets than they do on their kids sometimes.
What is, and we can continue this after the break too, but advice for owners thinking about selling or planning for retirement. I mean, what are some of the things that they should start thinking about right now?
Yeah, it's a longer process. Sometimes people plan and think about it for 5 or 10 years before getting the business to the point that they can sell it. Owners are very instrumental and very important to their businesses, and they need to start grooming their management teams to take on a lot of their responsibilities. That's the big risk when you buy a company, is that you lose a lot of that value when the owner steps down.
And do you provide a process through that in terms of strategic advice?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to any business owner out there thinking about it. But it takes a long time. And then if they're going to hire an investment banker, I mean, that takes a year or two to get the business ready to sell. And then the sale process takes 6 to 9 months as well. And a lot of times people don't think of how long that process from start to finish really is.
Very good. Welcome back to The Upswing. Sequoia Boardman from Boardman Capital joins us today. Sequoia, I don't know if you saw the headline in the Business Journal yesterday that Wisconsin slid 11 spots in the CEO magazine rankings of the top states for business. Went all the way down from 19th in 2023 to the second worst plunge by a state in 2024, right after Colorado, dropping 16 spots. I think that's more perception than reality?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's a perception. But I think if you redid the poll this week after the Microsoft announcement, it would probably move up. Still a great state for business, especially if you're a manufacturer. It's one of the most favorable tax environments for a manufacturer in the country, with the manufacturing credit deduction there. And it's a nice state from a labor standpoint as well, even though it's got some issues around there. But yeah, and it goes in cycles with the political environment. But really, I mean, we're no California or New York. I mean, right. We're still a nice, great Midwestern manufacturing hub.
Yeah, with the proliferation of, you know, new headquarters moving into the downtown area. The ranking didn't say how many of the executives were based in Wisconsin, and it was done in January. So like you said, that perception, given what's happened this week, I'm sure has changed. But you nailed it in terms of the most unpopular states. California coming in at number 50. Illinois, our friends to the south, at number 49. New Jersey at 47 were the bottom three. So what are some of the common threads, you know, just from a success standpoint, especially from a Wisconsin business lens, common threads that you see create business success? And then what about failure? Are there certain leadership trends that you see in the CEOs and the companies you work with that are just, these are universal?
Yeah, there are some universal threads. It's all about leadership. It's all about people. You need a really strong leader at the top, and business is tough. I mean, it's not easy, and some very difficult industries and difficult business models with great leaders do really well. And some businesses that are in the perfect spot and great customers, great space, and have a weak leader don't do as well. So it's all about kind of leadership from the top and the management team that supports them and the culture of that business. That's the number one differentiator between a successful business and a business that isn't going to do as well.
Okay. So if I'm, let's say, just a scenario, my uncle owns a manufacturing company and, you know, he's doing well, but he's 63 years old, looking to retire. And I'm going to connect him with a private equity firm. What questions should he ask someone like yourself?
He should really ask what are our plans for the business? What are we going to do with his employees? What are we going to do for the community? What are we going to do for the business overall? Because, I mean, if you founded that business, I mean, it's like family for you. And you want somebody that's really going to take care of those people. And usually the really nice companies support their local communities. Mm-hmm. And they want somebody that's going to continue to do that even after they transition out of the business.
So it's really it's a relationship-based business, like anything.
I'd say 80% of them are relationship-based. 20% people just care about getting the highest price for their business possible.
Okay, very good. When we come back from the break, how do deals get sourced and why? We always have to get to the why here on The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're joined by Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital. Welcome back to The Upswing, and happy Friday. Talking private equity today. Really grateful that Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital took time out of his day to join us this morning. I want to get to the why and the how, Sequoia. You know, how does your firm source deals and find the right investors for those deals?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to source them, and we use all of them. We look at about 12 to 1,500 companies a year in order to invest in 2 to 4. So we go through a lot, but our best deals are sourced through our network. People we know introduce us to a business owner, and that business owner, we hit it off with that business owner. We align on kind of the vision for that business, and we're able to agree to terms on the transaction. Those are the best investments or direct introductions through somebody that we know.
And is there kind of a wheelhouse in terms of annual revenue of those companies that you're looking at?
Primarily, we look at companies under 100 million in revenue. Maybe 20 to 100 million is kind of the sweet spot that we're looking at.
Okay. And is there a minimum for deals typically on the investor side?
It depends on the size of the deal. I mean, a lot of our deals are in the $20 to $50 million acquisition range, and the bigger deal, it would be larger investors, and the smaller side, it would be smaller investors.
Okay. And kind of given maybe political economic headwinds, is there a difference now in terms of like the hold period from an investor lens compared to 5 years ago? Are the investors saying, well, Sequoia, you and your team, I need my returns in 6 months? Or is it generally accepted, hey, we're looking at the 3 to 5 year term, and that's where we're going with this investment?
Yeah, I mean, we're very upfront from the beginning that this is a long-term illiquid investment. You may not get your money back for 10 years or longer, 20 years. I mean, these are nice, established businesses. We're not flippers. There are firms out there that buy businesses to sell them in 2 or 3 years, which we have. We've been opportunistic when we get an offer that we can't refuse. But really, me personally, I'd love to hold these companies for 20 years or longer, and really nice cash flowing businesses are tough to find. So it really just depends on the timing and when's a good time to exit.
Okay. What can you share in terms of insights and how you manage investor relations and communication, especially in challenging times, maybe underperforming investments? You probably had a few that haven't gone exactly the way you thought. What's that communication strategy look like back to the investors from you and your team?
Yeah, businesses go in cycles. They're not always just straight up. So, yeah, I mean, my philosophy is just be upfront, honest, over-communicate. We send out updates to all of our investors every quarter at a minimum. We have an annual investor event where we bring all the presidents for the companies in and present to the investor group. We just recently held it here at the Harley Museum. We had over 100 investors there. And yeah, just over communicate. Don't oversell the companies. Be open and honest on what's going on with the business.
I always ask people, you know, what's that point of difference in terms of doing business in Milwaukee and Wisconsin? And I think it's a big part of it is the lack of pretense. And there's a Milwaukee and a Midwest kindness and niceness and a hard work ethic here that really shines through. And it's, you know, I can see just talking to you that's coming through, and I think it's truly important.
Yeah, I agree. I love doing business with the companies here, and our preference is to buy companies as close to home as possible. And I always talk about it. Milwaukee's such a small place because people are nice. They'll introduce you to anybody that you want to talk to. You're just really one degree of separation. And that really helps our businesses as well. If we need to open some doors for those businesses, new customers, or find some employees, there's somebody that we know in our network that can help us with that.
Yeah. One degree of separation is probably like 0.5 degrees of separation.
Exactly.
If you really drill it down. Coming up next, we will talk about the economy. We'll talk about cheese. And we'll wrap up our conversation with Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital. You're listening to The Upswing, and this is WTMJ. Growing business in our hometown. Welcome back to The Upswing. Pleasure today to be joined by Sequoia Borgman from Borgman Capital, located right here in the heart of the state, in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Sequoia, what impact are you seeing in terms of inflation and interest rates with the portfolio companies that you're working with? And kind of where do you see those headwinds going, especially in a election year?
Yeah, well, inflation, we've been working under that for 4 years now. So that's kind of, you just got to stay ahead of it and continue to push through price increases as much as you can, and continue to cover whatever costs, labor costs or input costs that you're absorbing.
Okay. Just power through it, right? No matter who's going to be in office or no matter what the challenges are, you keep going.
Yeah, it's the fundamentals of business. You just got to stay ahead of it and don't put your head in the sand and do the right things for the business to maintain the cash flow.
One of your portfolio companies is Gilman Cheese. I think it's located in kind of the western end of Taylor County in beautiful, scenic north central Wisconsin. How's that company doing, and how did you source that deal?
Yeah, that company's doing fantastic. People eat a lot of cheese, so especially here in Wisconsin, you can't be a legitimate investment firm without investing in the cheese industry. So, well, yeah, we're really, really happy with Gilman. And that plant up there in Gilman, Wisconsin, it is a beautiful part of the state, right on a river. And I hope everybody goes up there and visits. And then we also bought one of their competitors, Dairy Food USA in Blue Mountains, Wisconsin, another really nice area of the state. So, yeah, the company's doing great.
So when you purchase a competitor like that, are there synergies then that you work together with those two similar companies?
Yeah,
how does that work?
There were a lot of synergies. They competed against each other. Both of them were 75 plus year old companies that had been great businesses in Wisconsin for a long time and had some similar products, some customer overlap, and really we've maintained all the employees and really grown that business. We've almost doubled it since we bought it a little over 5 years ago.
All right, last month at the World Champion Awards banquet, Gilman Cheese accepted the Dairy Food U.S. Gold Best in Class Award for its naturally smoked Gouda. So you're making a good product, and everyone's got to keep that on their grocery list for sure. It's good stuff. Another company in your portfolio is KG Stevens. Tell us about that deal.
Yeah, KG Stevens is one of our newer investments. We invested in that company about 18 months ago. It's headquartered here in Milwaukee, so it's really our only portfolio company headquartered in the southeast Wisconsin right now, but great company. They're the largest solid surface countertop fabricator really in the 6-state area now. Like Gilman, we bought one of their competitors up in Minneapolis soon after we invested in KG Stevens and almost doubled the size of that business. That business did have some headwinds last year with interest rates. New home starts slowed down a little bit, but we're seeing a, a big uptick right now. And people, even if they're not buying new homes, they're remodeling their kitchens and bathrooms. So it's a really nice business.
And Gilman did all the countertops, the commercial division of it, at least, at the Couture project that's now opening its doors in beautiful downtown Milwaukee on the lakefront.
Yeah, they did all the solid surfaces in the Couture, the entryway. They did all the nice natural stone in the entryway. And I toured that building a few weeks back when it still had the elevator on the outside. It was a windy day. That was fun going up 30-some floors on the outside of a rickety elevator.
Yeah, it's great. And it's great to see the streetcar rolling through it. I think Steve Scafidi recently had Rick Barrett on to talk about the project, and I had a tour of it a couple weeks ago, too. It's looking great. So I'd always like to ask, especially when we have the opportunity to have good business leaders in the studio, define success for us, Sequoia.
Well, I think most driven leaders always want to do more. So there's no real end game for what we do in private equity. Just do more transactions, bigger transactions. The fun part about what I do is going to meet with business owners, learning their businesses, walking through their facilities, and then once we invest in the business, helping them be successful, help them grow, help them solve challenges and be better. The least fun part about my business is when we sell a business. You get really, really emotionally attached to the business and the people, and that is not as much fun.
Yeah. Sequoia Borgman, founder and CEO of Borgman Capital, I thank you for joining us today. Happy Mother's Day to your mom and to all moms out there. Sunday should be a beautiful day in the state of Wisconsin. Please enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week.